May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. During my footstool time this morning, the Lord just kind of directed me again to the Revelation and chapter 6. I've spent a lot of time in chapter 6, so the Lord's been wanting me to go back, and I just keep saying, Lord, what else can I see? And just like any place in Scripture, it's endless. And he said, and I saw when the Lamb broke one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying as it was, saying as with a voice of thunder, come. Let me just look back a little bit in chapter 5. It says, and I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing as if it were slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent out unto all the earth. In verse 9, they sang a new song, saying, worthy art thou to take the book and to break its seals, for thou wast slain and did purchase. Again, referencing the lamb. At the end of chapter 5, twice it says, in verse 12, it says, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And then in verse 13, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And again, I just read, and I saw, as it were, a lamb who broke one of the seven seals. And then I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer, which we talked about yesterday. But beginning in chapter 5 in John's encounter with the Lord, that's recorded in the book of Revelation, this whole vision of the Lamb who's slain before the foundation of the world, the Lamb who perpetually and eternally looks as if one slain before the foundation of the world, it says in verse 12, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. And it's the Lamb who broke the seven seals that we see on a white horse, which always speaks about victory and conquering, given a crown and a bow, and going out to conquer and conquering. And so there's like this paradox, almost like an oxymoron, because when you think about a lamb, you think of something very surrendered and very docile and very tender and very gentle. And yet he says, worthy is the lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and wisdom. And it's the lamb who sits on the white horse, who wears a crown on his head, who's been given a bow to go out conquering and to conquer. So the Holy Spirit was just speaking some things in my own heart, because all of us want to know, we want to walk in and release in our lives the highest level of authority that we have in Christ. All of us have the same authority in Jesus. We all have the same power of Christ living in us. But not everybody walks in the same level of it. Not everybody operates in the same level of authority as they could. It just doesn't seem to be released in their life as it could. And it's not just a matter of faith. We would like to think it's that way, just a matter of faith. But to do that is to kind of get around some very important principle. And here's the issue. If you remember in Revelation 5, the reason that they were able to say, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing, was because he was the Lamb that was slain. That Jesus being a lamb and then walking in this great authority and power, this crazy anointing that he went in, walked in, wasn't in spite of the fact that he was a lamb, was because of the fact that he was willing to become a lamb slain. There's a verse that's really connected to this, amazing scripture, where I spent most of my time this morning. It's one of those blow-you-away places that you could spend forever looking at, and that is in Isaiah 53. And leading up to Isaiah 53, this great prophecy about Jesus and the cross, it says in verse 13 of chapter 52, behold, my servant, speaking of Jesus, will prosper, and he will be high and lifted up and greatly exalted, just as many were astonished at you, my people. But then he begins to talk about his appearance will be more marred than all the sons of men. And then chapter 3, just all he went through, when you get to chapter 53, verse 10, but the Lord was pleased to crush him, putting him to grief. If he would only render himself as a guilt offering, he would see his offspring. He will prolong his days, and the good pleasure of the Lord will prosper in his hands. As a result of the anguish of his soul, he will see it and be satisfied. By his knowledge, the righteous one, my servant, will justify the many, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will allot him a portion with the great. And that's one of the things that I cry out for. God, I want a portion with the great. I don't mean great in terms of fame. I want to walk in the highest level of favor and the highest level of impact, the highest level of anointing, the highest level of released authority and power I can possibly walk in. Don't you? But what we have a tendency to do is reduce Christianity to little catchphrases and reduce Christianity to little things we can memorize. But Christianity is a real relationship, and there are things we have to walk through. And in between him saying that he's going to be high and lifted up and greatly exalted, and him saying that he will allot him a portion with the great, in between all that is Jesus surrendering himself to the Lamb, to be a Lamb. It says in verse 3 of chapter 53, he was despised and forsaken of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Like one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, we did not esteem him. Surely our griefs he himself bore, and our sorrows he carried, yet we ourselves esteemed him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. In other words, in the flesh, what we saw was just somebody who obviously God had turned his hand against, not knowing really what was going on at the cross. But he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for yours and my iniquities. The chastening for our wholeness fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. All of us like sheep have gone astray. Each one of us has turned to his own way. But the Lord has a cause, the iniquity of us all, to fall on him. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a sheep that is silent before its shears, he did not open his mouth. Here's the thing I want you to see. It's so significant. It's one of the great principles in the kingdom of God about Jesus. And so Jesus was the author and the perfecter of faith, right? Jesus is our great model. If it's in your heart's desire, in these days when God is moving so profoundly, to have a portion with the great, again, not to be famous among men, but to have a portion of the anointing on your life that's among the great, it's very simple. You can't be exalted and given a portion among the great unless you're first willing to go very, very low. Jesus' role as a lamb was twofold. One, he surrendered himself in absolute submission and humility to his Father's will. And he was silent before his shearers and didn't live a life of complaining. He surrendered to God's will in absolute submission. And he laid his life down in the dirt in sacrificial love for us. He was pierced through for our transgressions. Jesus went low in his submission to his Father. He didn't clamor for this and clamor for that and scratch for this position. He went low in his position as Father, and he was silent before the shearers. He didn't live a life of complaining and defending and self-exalting and rising up when he felt like he was left out or discarded or not noticed or whatever. He went low. He became a lamb slaughtered. And he laid his life down in the dirt for others. And because of that, he was raised up and given a portion with the great. Now, every one of us has begun a deposit of the life of Christ in us by the Holy Spirit. We all have a portion. We can walk in that. We all have authority. We can walk in that and walk in power. But if you want to have a portion with the great, if you want to have a portion of the great, then you have to be like a lamb slain. That's the way there. It's not a coincidence that he talks to him a lamb, and then the next thing he says, and he put a crown on him and a bow, and he went out conquering. There's nothing more fun in the world than to be a conqueror in the name of Jesus. over the powers of darkness and works of the enemy. But the way there is not somebody laying hands on you. I mean, that can release some things in you, but it'll find a place, a roadblock. It'll hit a wall. If God doesn't find in you a lamb who is willing to be silent before the will of God, like a lamb led to the slaughter, and he'll find one that will go in the dirt in simple love for people. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.